Morning. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And you think we'd be if he had never came? If we still had the opportunity just to have an offering once a year of a fatted calf or whatever your offering would be, a blood sacrifice, if we were able to still go through that kind of time period, how bad off do you think we'd be? I mean, if we fail and we make mistakes now with his grace and, like I said, with the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us, we'd be a whole lot worse off. We'd do a whole lot worse. And we'd be headed in a whole lot worse direction. I can tell you this morning of myself, and I have absolutely no guarantee that I would be dead or in prison by now had I not received Christ as my Lord and Savior almost 20 years ago. But by all appearance of the life that I was living, the way that I was going, and the direction I was headed in, I was headed for one of those things. I was definitely headed for one of those things. There's no doubt in my mind. But he was gracious enough to save me. Now, it's been spoken this morning, we've heard this morning, that, you know, his presence is not something that we can see. It's not right in front of us, but it's something that we can feel. Now, I want to give you an example of that. When I met Debbie, I didn't have any intentions of falling in love. If love was something that is visible and I would have seen it come in church, quite honestly, I'd have dodged it. All right? And that's not because of Debbie, that's because of the nature of the person that I was at that time. Love was not a part of me. Okay? So, I avoided that. I avoided getting close to people. Right? But, and a lot of us, if we could see Jesus coming, we would probably dodge it. You say, oh, no, people wouldn't do that. Well, then why don't people come to church today? Why don't lost folk find themselves in the presence of God today, in a place where they can get the opportunity to know him? It's because our flesh doesn't desire that. Our flesh desires the things of the world. So we will dodge that. We will try to keep ourselves from getting into that place, because that's not where we want to be. But I want to talk a little bit this morning about some benefits and what it brings when we know God. And then I'm going to get into some things that what it brings when we don't know God and when he's not a part of our life. And yes, I know that we're all here probably saved this morning, but I want to tell you something this morning. I want to share something with you this morning that's very important. We have to keep ourselves close to God to keep his presence a part of our lives. We can't separate ourselves from God and find ourselves alienated from him and expect his presence to always be there for us, right? So I want to help us this morning and instruct us this morning on how to keep ourselves in a place where we ought to be. Now, I want to warn you about the consequences of getting away from God. We want to start in Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 through 15. And we're going to be doing a lot of bouncing around in the Scriptures this morning, but that's all right because the Word is good. And it is good for us. So Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Titus is just after 2 Timothy. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You may be seated. So while I'm talking a little bit about that, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. So the first thing that I want to talk about, and we know that, you know, serving the Lord, the presence of the Lord brings us peace, joy, love, long-suffering, patience. You know, we know that. We know the fruits of the Spirit. But what we don't focus on a lot of times is how it brings us salvation. Without His presence, there would be no salvation. We wouldn't have the opportunity. Without His blood being shed, there'd be no opportunity for us to be saved. We wouldn't have that opportunity. We wouldn't have the blessed assurance that we have today that we are saved through and by the power of His blood and by the might of His blood. We are saved not because of anything that we did, because we all know that we weren't worthy of it. We all know that we weren't... we didn't deserve it, but He saw us fit to give it to us freely, church. Not that we would have to give anything for it. All we had to do, and all anybody has to do, is believe and confess and ask God to forgive them of their sins. First thing you have to do is know that you're a sinner, right? That's why a lot of people aren't getting saved today, because they don't think that they're sinners. They think they're all right. And be honest. Let's just be honest this morning. When you compare yourself to people, yeah, you probably are. But that's not our comparison. That's not our measuring stick. Our measuring stick is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our measuring stick. He's what we need to guide ourselves by and compare ourselves to. You say, I can't be as perfect as Jesus Christ. No, but you need to strive to be. Not just give up and say, I can't do it, so no sense in fighting for it. Right? We need to keep trying to be. So the first thing that he brings is a salvation. What is salvation? It's the opposite of unrighteousness. It's the opposite of sin. Salvation is so precious. And so many people are just giving it up today. Just turning their backs on it. Just saying that I don't really need it. In Psalms 51 and 11, David said this when he was going through a hard time. He said, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That was the most important thing to David. David said, I don't care what else you do to me. Just don't take your presence from me. Because once you have His presence, once you know of His presence, there's nothing else that can compare to it. There's nothing else that can substitute it. There's nothing else that can replace it. Once you've had His presence in your life, once you've received salvation, there's no comparing anything else to it. There's nothing else that can even compare. And we know this. Why? Because we've had it. And we do have it, hopefully. All right? And we know that there's nothing else like it. Church, I can tell you, I've tried a lot of things in my lifetime, but I've found nothing that can even come close to what He has given me, what He has done for me, and where I am today is because of Him. I couldn't even have fathomed. You couldn't have told me 20 years ago that I'd be standing in a pulpit preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd have told you you was crazy. Matter of fact, I did tell a man one time he was crazy. He told me, he said, "You make a good preacher." First he said, "You make a good politician." I said, "No, I don't want to be no politician." He said, "You make a good preacher." I said, "You done lost your mind. There ain't no way. Look at the lifestyle that I live. Look at the things that I do. Look at the nature of my being. Look at who I am. You don't know who you're talking to." I didn't know the power of the blood. I didn't know how powerful His blood was, what it could do, because church, it completely turned me upside down. It completely changed everything about me. And yes, while that person back then could have never been a preacher, that person no longer exists because of the blood of Christ. That person's been cast away. Doesn't any longer exist. And I thank Him for that. But had He never came into my life, I would have never known this. I would have never have experienced salvation. I would have never experienced the things that I've been able to experience. I would have never known you people. I would have never been able to stand behind a pulpit and say, "I'm a minister of God." I would have never been able to stand before people and say, "I pastor a church." I would have never been able to have the opportunity to witness to the people that I've witnessed to and to speak about the love of Jesus Christ. These things are because of His presence is within me. Because I haven't pushed Him away or I haven't shirked Him and said, "Can I be honest with you this morning? There's a lot of Sunday morning Christians today that they cling to Him on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week they don't want anything to do with Him. They'll push Him away. They'll shun Him. They'll shirk Him. They don't want anybody to know that they're a part of the church. They just want the appearance that, yes, I go to church." That's the truth this morning. But I'm talking about something more than that. I'm talking about something more than just going to church and feeling good about yourself. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with Christ. I'm talking about knowing what salvation is. I'm talking about knowing what it feels like to have the blood of Christ applied to your life and have your sins completely washed away. Because there's a lot of people in this world that don't have that feeling and don't know that feeling because they have never experienced that feeling. So let's get into the second part of, because we got a long way to go, church. The second part in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, I'm going to read the whole chapter there. It said, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I am become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So we see here that with His presence comes faith, it comes hope, and it comes charity or love. But the most important one of those is the love. Because, church, let me be honest this morning. When you've got the love of Christ in your heart, it covers a whole lot more than we can ever understand and what we can ever fathom. It takes care of a whole lot more things than we can imagine. It covers a multitude of sin. Right? I couldn't imagine who I'd be today had He not given me love. As much hate as I had accumulated in my 21 years, almost 22 years of life before He saved me, I can't imagine 20 years later how much more my hate would have grown and how much my distaste for people. Right? Because I'll just be honest with you. I didn't care much for people. I didn't like people. Even though I surrounded myself with people, I didn't care anything about those people. I didn't love those people. You know what it was all about? It was about what they could give to me and what I could give to them. There was no real concern for one another. We didn't care anything about one another. We didn't love one another. But Christ, when I got saved, when His presence entered my life, there was a love, an over-compelling love, a love that just completely took over me. And now I can love people without even knowing them, can love them. I can even love those that hate me and despitefully use me. I can even love those that disagree with me. Because I'll be honest with you this morning, I don't agree with all of y'all all the time. Right? Because we're all different personalities, and we're not all going to agree on everything. We're not always going to get along on everything, but we should be able to love one another. Right? If the presence of God is among us, or the presence of the Lord is within us, then we should be able to love one another even through our differences. Right? And not get spiteful towards one another or envious of one another or vaunting one another. I mean, I just read this to you. Right? These are the things that should be pushed out because of love, hope, and faith. Because these things have come into our lives. These other things, the unrighteousness of our lives, should have been pushed out. Shouldn't be there anymore. So some things that we receive from it. How many of you glad this morning that you have hope? Oh, praise God, I'm surely glad. That I can look at tomorrow and say, I don't know what's ahead of me tomorrow, but I know one thing, I put my hope in God. Right? That it doesn't matter what I'm going to face tomorrow, because I'm walking through it with Him. Right? He's prepared me. He's enabled me. There's nothing that I'll face tomorrow that's going to be greater than my God. Right? It might be greater than me, church, but there is nothing that I'll face tomorrow that's going to be greater than my God. I've got that hope. I've got faith to believe that He's always going to be there with me. He'll always lead me. He'll always guide me. He strengthens me when I need strength. He heals me when I need health. He gives me money when I need money. Boy, I need a lot of it. Don't we all? But you know what else I've got faith in? That He won't give me too much of anything that's going to hurt me. That's good. Because see, our nature, if we got too much money, it would hurt us. Right? Because of our nature. Too much of anything is, even too much of a good thing is too much. Right? I don't know how that phrase goes. I done lost my train of thought on that. But But too much of anything is bad for us. I mean, milk's good for you, ain't it? But if all you do is drink milk all the time, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get sick. It's just not good for you. You need protein, right? So we say, okay, I need protein. I ain't never drinking milk again. All I'm going to do is eat meat all the time. I got to tell you, church, I'd be as satisfied as could be with that. You wouldn't have to give me anything else. Just bring me a plate full of meat every time I sit down to eat. I'd be happy. But too much of that would be bad for us too. All right? So He protects us from having too much of anything that's going to hurt us. Now, there's one thing that you can never have enough of. Anybody want to take a guess at what it is? God's love. His presence. We can never have too much of that. No matter how much He gives us. Y'all get under control here this morning. What's wrong with y'all? No matter how much He gives us, it can never be too much. All right? I tell Him all the time, keep pouring it on me, y'all, because I need every bit of it. Right? And we do. We need it all. Help me preach, little brother. Praise God. I got one on my side finally. So he gives us salvation. So these are the things that it brings when we know Him and when we serve Him and when His presence is in our life. He brings us salvation. The knowledge of what His blood does for us. And gives us faith, hope, and charity. Love. A love that passes all understanding. You can't explain it. Right? Didn't somebody just teach on this? Right? So see, it all just works together. It all comes together. The last thing, there's a lot of things, but the last thing I'm going to cover this morning that it brings us when we are serving Him and when His presence is in our life can be found in John, the 17th chapter, and in verse 3. It says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." And these are the words of Christ. Let me read that to you again. "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." When His presence is in our life, when we know God and Jesus Christ, who God sent, we already have life eternal. Right? We're alive today. Right? Not just physically, but spiritually. Right? Now, I'm telling you this morning, you can lose that. But I'm telling you, as of the time when His presence is in your life, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven. Life eternal begins then. When you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, when you know Him, I'm not talking about knowing of Him this morning. I'm talking about when you know Him with personal relationship with Him, your eternal life begins then. So we've got eternal life. We've got a hope of that. We've got faith in that, right? If we know Him, we should have that confidence this morning that I'm going to live forever. Maybe, I'm not talking about in this clay, but I'm talking spiritually. I'm going to live forever. That's good news this morning. That I don't have to contend with the fears of dying and going to hell. Because I will tell you this morning that someone that doesn't know Him and doesn't have their presence in their life, that's something that they'll contend with every day, is the fear that they're going to hell. Aren't you glad this morning that you don't have to have that fear? Aren't you glad this morning that when you lay your head down at night to go to bed, you don't have to focus on that. You don't have to think about that. You don't have to be concerned with that. That you can rest assured in knowing this, that if I were to go tonight, heaven would be my home. How exciting is that? Y'all saying, that ain't too exciting. I don't want to die yet. I'm not in a hurry to die neither. But I can guarantee you one thing. If my time was to expire right now, I'd be better off. Right? I wouldn't miss this place much. Yeah, I'd miss some people, but I wouldn't miss this place. Right? And probably wouldn't miss the people because I'd be too busy praising Him. Right? But y'all probably miss... Well, I hope you would miss me. I don't know. Maybe some of you are saying, hurry up, Lord. Take him on. Right? But we can have that hope this morning. Right? That if He does, we've got a far better place to go. We do. We do, church. Because of His presence. Not because of us. Not because we've done anything that we're worthy of it, but because of His presence. Because it dwells within us and it has overcome us and has forced out everything that is not of Him. Praise God this morning, that's good. So let's look at some of the things that we avoid by having His presence in our life and what we would have to endure and look at every day and face every day if we didn't have His Spirit. In Romans 6, verses 19 through 23, says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then those in those things, whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the first things that I want to look at there, if you don't have His presence in your life, one thing is that you have unrighteousness in your life. You have sin in your life. That's just a fact of the matter, church. Sin has overtaken your life. Unrighteousness has overtaken your life. Now, the second part of that, is, as it explains there, is then shame creeps in. Right? Shame, the discouragement of... you remember the message that I preached a while back about disappointments. And how we all have faced disappointments. But when sin is in your life, there's shame in your life. You can try to cover it up and you can try to masquerade and put on a smile and act like everything's fine. But within yourself, when you've got sin in your life, there's shame. There's a shame about it. You don't want people to really see it, and you want to try to cover it up and say that you're living right and you're doing right. But when you've got sin in your life, there's shame, and you can't even bring yourself to pray because your shame is so great. Am I preaching the truth this morning? I mean, when you've got sin in your life, you can't even bring yourself to get into the presence of God because you don't want Him to look upon your shame. You don't want Him to see your sin. He won't look upon your sin anyway, but you don't want Him to see your sin. So you're shameful. You're afraid to even go to the altar. You're afraid to go to your prayer closet. You're even afraid to come to church because you don't want Him to see. But you can't hide from Him. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you don't. If you don't come to church, or if you go somewhere else, or you do this, or you do that, no matter what you do, you can't cover it up. You can't hide. He's all-seeing, all-knowing. Right? So when we don't have His presence in His life, we have unrighteousness. We have sin in our lives. You can't serve two masters. The Bible says that you'll love one and despise the other. You'll cling one and... somebody help me. Abstain from the other. Push the other away. You can't serve two masters. You can't sin, you can't have sin in your life and have His presence in your life. Right? So that's some of the things that we encounter and that we endure when we don't have His presence. Right? Unrighteousness, shame, discouragement, hatred towards ourselves. Anybody ever been there? Right? I've been there, church. I've been to a place where I was so ashamed of something that I did that I actually hated myself for it. How could I let myself get into this? How could I disappoint God this much? The fact of the matter is, He was still like the prodigal son's father. He was still standing on the porch and waiting for my return. Faithfully waiting for me. And He does the same for each and every one of us. You know, we always think that nobody else has ever gone through this. Nobody else has ever done this. But all through the ages of time, people have done the things that you've done. They've made the mistakes that you've made. They failed the way that you have failed. And God has always been just to forgive them for it. Because He's a loving and a merciful God. He wants nothing more than to become a presence in that life again. Whoever's life that it is. Right? The Word says that it's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That tells me that He don't want people to die in their sin. He doesn't want people to die without His presence. But He wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to be intimate with us. He wants to be a presence to us. He wants to overcome us with His presence. So that it pushes everything else that is unlike Him out. But we have to allow Him to do that. Right? Romans 1, verses 28 through 32. It says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." So there's a lot of things right there that I just named off that become a part of our lives when we don't have His presence within us. But the one that I want to focus on the most is where He said He would turn them over to a reprobate mind. In other words, He would reject them, turn them away, and allow them to do what? Do whatever you want to do. You want to live like that? Live like that. Right? He said, "I'll reject you. I'll turn you away." So I'm warning us this morning. Yes, you may be here this morning, and you may be just overwhelmed with the Spirit of God and His presence this morning. But be careful. Be careful. Because we are all subject to fail. Right? We're all subject to make mistakes. We're all vulnerable to ourselves. Our flesh rises up daily, church, to try to overcome us and to try to overtake us and to try to convince us to go back to the things that we once knew. Our flesh and our spirit is at constant battle against one another. The flesh wants to keep control. The flesh wants to keep control, and your spirit, the presence of God, wants to own control. It wants to take over. It wants to take the. It wants to fulfill you with His presence, and that's what God wants from us. He wants us to have Him overwhelm us with His presence. He wants to take control of us. And to keep control of us. And we have to be so careful, church. We have to stay so close to Him through the Word, through prayer, through keeping ourselves from sin, that we don't allow our flesh to overtake us, to take control, because it wants to. And it's trying to. It's fighting for it. Do you not realize that this morning? Your flesh is fighting for control of you. The devil is fighting for control of you. He wants to take over you. He doesn't want you to be in the presence of God. He doesn't want you to have God's love. He doesn't want you to have hope. He doesn't want you to have faith. He doesn't want you to have confidence in God. He doesn't want you to have salvation. He wants to destroy you. All right? So we have to be vigilant. We have to keep ourselves in a place where God's presence is in control. He'll only be in control if we'll allow Him to be in control. He's made us free moral agents. We can choose. Alright? So it's our choice. There's some things that we can avoid. Just think about this. Fornication. Wickedness. Covetousness. Maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Can you imagine being a hater of God? I can't fathom that. But I'm telling you, if you don't keep His presence in your life, that's what state you can come to. You say, oh, not me. You're in a dangerous place already because it a little bit later on right there, the next word says proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. All right? So let's not get proud. Let's not get boastful. Let's realize and understand this, that God is in control. God is in control. He's the potter and we're just the clay. Let Him mold us into what He wants us to be. We should never get prideful and boastful and say, that could never happen to me. Right? Because it could happen to any one of us. We shouldn't point at people and say, I can't believe they let the devil destroy them like that. They once sang so beautiful. They once did this. They once did that. We could all be in that state. Except for His presence. His presence is what keeps us from being there. His presence is what keeps us from going there. Got one more verse of Scripture. In Hebrews 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That's what I'm talking to you about this morning, church. Take heed to it. Apply it to your life. Listen to what the man of God is telling you. Listen to what the Word is telling you. Listen to the instruction that God gives you, however He gives it to you. And apply it to our lives. Lest at any time we should let them slip and forget who we are. And not have His presence in our life. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" So that's the last thing that I want to cover is, if you don't have His presence in your life, there's no escape for you. There's no escape. There's no way out. That's right. If you die without His presence in your life, you will not escape the judgment. You'll face it without Him. Right? The Bible says that no sin shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But I've already told you, it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said, "Whosoever will, let him come." Right? Anybody. He doesn't pick and choose like we do. He doesn't look at people and say, "Well, they were too terrible. There's no way that God would save them." He looks at everybody in the same way. It's His will that none should perish. None. He doesn't say everybody but Charles Manson. He doesn't say everybody but this person, everybody but that person. He says, "It's not my will that any should perish, and that all should come to repentance." Everybody has the opportunity as long as there's breath in their body. As long as they still have life. After that, church, there's no escape. So if we die without His presence in our life, there's no escape for us. I don't care how many years you served Him. I don't care how many years you went to church. I don't care if you was here every time the doors were open. If you die in sin, there's no escape for you. That's why it's so important that we heed the Word of God. That we apply it to our lives and we keep ourselves from sin. It's imperative. Please heed the warnings this morning and keep yourselves in a place where His presence can always abide in you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.